Once again, it is wonderful to see you this morning. It is good to be in the Lord's house. It's good to worship. I invite your attention to the book of 2 Thessalonians today, chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 6 as we continue our study of the book of 2 Thessalonians. I said first, didn't I? Or did I? Y'all weren't listening? It's 2 Thessalonians. Either way. 2 Thessalonians. Today we're going to talk about the future. I want to tell you what's in store. I know some things that you need to know about what's ahead. And it's not that I'm some kind of, have some great power of hidden knowledge. That's not it. Okay? It's that what I'm going to share with you comes from the Word of God. So that you can just very simply know what lies ahead. Now, we may not know every detail that's in between here and there, but this is what's going, or what the future holds for us. Would you stand with me as we read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says, since it's a righteous thing with God to repay tribulation, to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those believers, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Father, we need you so much today. We need revival in our nation, for we are a people who have turned our backs on you. Father, we need your intervention in our nation on behalf of our leaders, that they lead with wisdom in making God-honoring decisions. Father, we need you in this service today. I need you knowing that there's nothing I can say that would be of any value. So, Lord, I pray that you put your words upon my lips, that you open ears so that we may hear, eyes that we might see. I pray that you will move among us in a mighty way, convicting of sin and reassuring the saved of the great future that we have as your children. Glorify your great name in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you know, the church at Thessalonica, I've shared with you before, they had two really major problems or distractions that they were facing at this point. They were facing severe persecution, and they were facing false teachers spreading false doctrine in the church. And so Paul kind of takes an opportunity here, and he says, okay, we're going to turn our attention to something else. We're going to get our attention off of the crisis for the moment, and we're going to talk about two other things. And these two other things are very relevant to us today because it's all about what's going to happen in the future. And first thing Paul shares is the retribution of the sinners. This is what sinners, those who have rejected Jesus Christ, can expect. And we're going to go into that in just a minute. But he also talks about, and the glorious thing, the exciting part of this message is the rest for the saints. Oh, there's coming a day, and I won't get started on that now because we'll skip over the other. But let's start. If you are in this service today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand I'm not harping on you and I'm not here to beat you down or accuse. I'm very simply here to share with you the truth of the Bible and tell you what lies in store for you if you continue down a Christ-rejecting path. And the first thing is you can expect retribution for your sin. Verse 8 says, they will see Jesus as a flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel. I want to call your attention to that word vengeance, okay? When we think of vengeance, we think of somebody out of control just beating up on people, right? That's not what this word means. This word means, as it's used here, it means to administer justice. And the key word here that I want you to understand is justice. Man has a problem. We all have a problem. That problem is sin. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That includes all of us from the pulpit to the pew this morning. But we've got to learn to deal, or we've got to do something to deal with that sin. And God gave us that avenue when He loved you and me so very much that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross of Calvary to take sin's punishment for every individual believer that's present today and under the sound of my voice. That sacrifice that Jesus endured, the suffering, the beating, the crown of thorns, everything that Jesus endured on that cross was sufficient payment and justice for every man to have forgiveness of sin. Okay? So Jesus gave Himself so that you could have eternal life. Now here's the great injustice that we face in our culture. The great injustice is for a man to reject the grace and the goodness of God, choosing rather to die in his sin than to receive the forgiveness of God and salvation of God through Jesus Christ. I mean, you think about it. God loved you so much, He gave His Son so that you could live. Yet there are those that say, nope, I don't want it. That is probably the greatest injustice that is in our culture today. And we will see that injustice being judged by Jesus Christ. You can expect, if you refuse Jesus Christ, I want you to understand, and once again, I'm not beating you over the head. I'm not accusing you. I'm just telling you the truth of the Bible. You can expect justice, and justice means judgment for your sin. Verse 6 says, it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. For if you're lost, here's your future. There is one day coming a time where God will pour out His judgment upon this earth. It's called the tribulation period. And it is where God literally pours out His wrath upon a Christ-rejecting mankind. We know it as the seven-year tribulation period. It begins in Revelation chapter 5. And I want to share with you a few things that you can expect when that time comes. If you have not come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Revelation talks of war like you've never seen before. Famine, pestilence such as never known before. Earthquakes with severity that we have never seen in the history of mankind. Stars will literally fall from heaven and strike the earth. There will be hail mingled with fire. A third of the sea will be poisoned. A third of the fresh water poisoned. There will literally be locusts from hell. Literally. Really. That have a sting so severe that when they sting mankind, that plague of that sting causes torment for 5 months. And it will be such a torment that men will seek death and cannot die. There will be loathsome sores that break out on mankind. The sea will turn to blood. The water turns to blood. Men will be scorched by the heat of the sun. It will be such a time as there is no doubt that this is God that is pouring out His judgment upon this earth. But man will not repent. Instead, he will cry out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on him and hide him from the wrath of God. What can we say? You know, a lot of people would back up. Well, I don't believe God will ever do that. Believe it. Read Revelation. That judgment is coming. And listen, again, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to accuse you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. If you die without Jesus Christ, this is what you have to look forward to if you enter that tribulation period. But that's only the beginning. You see, there is another option. After the tribulation period, or if you die before the tribulation period, you're going to experience the everlasting justice that is described as an everlasting destruction. In verse 9, it says, they shall be punished. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Listen, you are naive if you believe that God will not judge sin. He has to. The Bible says God is a just God. And isn't that what the world desires today is justice? Isn't that supposedly what all the demonstrations are about is justice? Isn't people who are wronged, don't they seek justice? There's coming a day of justice, and justice will be, and it's described here in verse 9, as everlasting destruction. I want you to take note of the everlasting part. That word everlasting means never ending. Hell is described in the Bible as a place where fire is never quenched. And once a sinner experiences death, that sentence is imposed and irreversible. Yes, there is a hell. And it is final and it is set for eternity. Once you arrive at that destination, I want you to know there will be no help. There will be no turning back. There will be no pardon. There will be no mercy. There will be nothing but fire, brimstone, and suffering for all of eternity. Oh, listen, have you ever went through a really rough patch in life and you thought, boy, I'll be glad when this is over? Listen, if you die without Jesus Christ, you will not even have that hope of I'll be glad when this is over, because this will never be over. Hell is a real place. Please, I beg you, take note. I beg you, do something about it. Receive the gift of God that is salvation that He bought and paid for upon the cross of Calvary. If not, your destruction will be everlasting. Second thing He said there in verse 9, they will be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power. You're eternally separated from the love, the goodness, the glory of God. Not only will there be torment from you, but you'll spend eternity knowing what you could have had. And we're going to get into the other side of this coin in just a moment. But can you imagine spending eternity knowing I didn't have to be here? The greatest regret that any person will ever have after this life is through will not be, I wasn't a good enough parent. I didn't work good enough at my job. I wasn't a good enough citizen. The greatest regret that a person will have for eternity is that I rejected Jesus Christ when I had the opportunity for heaven that Jesus died to give to me. Listen, I remind you of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man, it says, he fared sumptuously and lived luxuriously, and there was a beggar named Lazarus who begged at his gate, just hoping to eat the crumbs from his table. The Bible says that both of these men died. Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom, paradise, heaven. And the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and he saw Lazarus and Abraham afar off. And he cried out, "Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames." And you know what the answer was? No. It's too late. It's too late. You had your chance. And you blew it. See, today I just want you to see the grace of God. that brought you here, that's causing you, even you at home listening, that's brought you to this point to hear the message of salvation that says, you do not have to experience hell for eternity. Jesus loved you so much, He paid your sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. You don't have to go there. Can you imagine eternity in hell, seeing what could have been? And I use my words carefully there, seeing what could have been, because that rich man, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. You'll know what you missed. You'll know what you missed. I beg you. I beg you. Back up and reconsider, because there's coming a day when you're going to face eternity. And eternity for the sinner is eternal torment and punishment. Oh, but there's good news. You see, I'm not going to hell. You know why I'm not going to hell? It's not because I'm a good person. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. But I've experienced the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. The Bible also says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That very simply means that if you call out today, Jesus will answer your call for salvation. And once you know that, once you experience that salvation, then you have an eternity to look forward to. An eternity, it says, for rest for the saints. Verse 7 says that to give rest, or give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. Listen, we're going to talk about two stages here, right? First of all, if we die right now, Jesus has prepared a place for us. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I know where I'm going. That's why I'm not real scared about everything that's going on in our culture today. I know where I'm going. But listen, there's coming a day of great rest for the child of God. And that day we know is the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Jesus is coming for His children. And I want you to understand, if you are a child of God, this is not an event to be dreaded. This is a glorious celebratory celebration that we are to look forward to. This life is not all there is. And you say, okay, brother, what's going to happen when we go meet Jesus in the air? I'm glad you asked. Let me share with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You're going to receive the things that you have done in this body, whether good or bad. That word receives an interesting word. It's not like it's not a time of judgment where God's going to spank you because you didn't do good enough, right? That word receive, it means to receive a reward. This is the judgment seat of Christ, the bema, where people would go to be awarded rewards in athletic competitions. And in this, in the heavenly view, that's what this is. We're going to be rewarded. Listen, there is a record of every sacrifice that you have ever made, of every Sunday school class that you have ever taught, of every time that you have kept the nursery, of every time that you have witnessed, of every act of kindness, of every helpful hand that you have offered. If you ever get the feeling like nobody appreciates me, let me assure you, there is a heavenly record being kept. Jesus appreciates you, and He's going to make it worth your while when this life is over. There's coming a day that we'll stand before that beam of that judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done in the flesh, whether good. That word good, it means excellence. I can imagine, can you imagine? Well done, you good and faithful servants. Oh, I love that, don't you? That's what I want to hear. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Now, that's not to say we all don't slip and we have good days and bad days and we don't do everything that we should do, but we should be striving for those awards. I want my Savior to say, good job, Doug. Good job. Welcome home. That word bad used in 1 Corinthians 5:10 says you'll be rewarded for your whether good deeds or bad. That word bad means worthless. I want you to think about that word for just a moment. There are some things that we do that are worthwhile, that have eternal consequences. There are some things that we do that don't amount, as my old dad used to say, does not amount to a hill of beans. It don't matter. Worthless, useless, that have no eternal consequences. You know, listen, we need to make sure of our priorities on this earth. There are a lot of people who say, as long as I make it to heaven, that's all that matters. No, it does not. Let's be realistic. I don't want to just make it to heaven, even though I want to go there. I want my Savior to be pleased with the life that I live for Him on this earth. Don't you? Have you ever been to an award ceremony? I remember as a child growing up, and they'd have school award ceremonies, and sometimes I would get an award, sometimes I wouldn't. It hurt my feelings when I didn't get an award. How about you? You know? But I couldn't blame anybody but myself. You know, I didn't make the honor roll that time or whatever the award was. You know, it hurt my feelings to miss out. Can you imagine standing before the Creator of the universe, the One who said, let there be light, and there was light. The One who said, let there be. The one who formed man from the dust of the earth. Can you imagine standing before Him and hearing, well done, good and faithful servant? Or, that's too bad. I wish you'd have done something worth rewarding. There is going to be a judgment. This judgment or this reward ceremony. And this award ceremony should be a thing of joy, of celebration. But we've got to set our priorities, beloved. We've got to make Jesus number one again. You know, we're given in the Bible two commandments, the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think you can just base everything upon those two according to the words of Jesus. Oh, don't come to that day when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you were called to preach, but you didn't answer. You were called to witness, but you didn't answer. You were called to teach, but you didn't answer. You were called to faithfulness, but you didn't answer. I promise you, you'll stand before that judgment seat of Christ. And no, it won't be an eternal condemnation. But I promise you, you'll stand and you'll see what you missed. You'll want. You will regret what was not done for the Lord in this life. Yes, at verse 7, we go on. At verse 7 actually speaks of the end of the tribulation. I look forward to that day when Jesus Christ comes and calls us in the air to meet Him in the clouds. Don't you? Listen, that's the only way I want to fly anymore. How about you? I'm ready to go. Just call me, Lord. We're ready to go. There's coming another day. The rest for the saints when Jesus literally comes to this earth and plants His feet on this earth. Verse 7 says, it actually refers to the end of the tribulation period that I spoke of earlier, at the glorious return of Jesus to this earth when He's on that white horse and out of His mouth goes the sharp two-edged sword and He conquers the world. Can you imagine that day when Jesus returns and establishes Himself upon this earth as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Can you imagine that day when we no longer lived by faith? Can you imagine that day when we see Jesus face to face? What a day, what a time that'll be. The Apostle Paul gives us a little glimpse in verse 10 what that's going to look like. In verse 10 of the text, he said, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. See, there are two things Paul points out that he wants to keep in mind of the believer. Number one, when He comes to be glorified with His saints. That word glorified. You ever think about that? After the tribulation, when Jesus literally comes to this earth, what are we going to do? We're going to glorify Jesus. Right? What does it mean to glorify Jesus? It means to honor Jesus. That day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That day is coming. Can you imagine when every knee bows and no longer will there be the atheist pointing over there saying, look at those few foolish Christians, because all of them are going to be in hell at this point. No longer will there be governments in the world saying, oh, you can't do that because that's politically incorrect. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And He will rule and reign forevermore. There will be no Democrats, Republicans, or Independents. Just Jesus ruling with His rod of iron. What a day, what a day. Oh, can you imagine that worship service? Ooh, glory. I want to be part of that one, don't you? You read over in Revelation 4:8. As they're around the throne and they cried, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Revelation 4:11, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. There's going to be a worship service like none you have ever seen before. There's coming a day that every knee honors. And can you imagine? Listen, worship was good today. Amen? I'm so excited to see people coming back and having a relatively normal worship service again. Okay? But there's a worship service I'm looking forward to more. Can you imagine being in a worship service with Jesus Christ in person? I just don't know what more to say about that. One of these days, we're going to kneel in His presence. Listen, I kneel. I pray and I kneel. But I've never done that. Kneeling in His literal presence. You say, Brother Doug, you're in His spiritual presence. I know that. I know that. But can you imagine worshiping Jesus and you look at Jesus literally while you're worshiping Him? You talk about glory for the saints. As we realize, yes, I told y'all Jesus was real. I told you He rose from the grave. I told you one day it'll be worth it. Oh, we go on. Second thing's going to happen for the saints of God is also found in verse 10. Is to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe. To be admired among all those who believe. Listen, that word admired is a little different. We think of, it's not God being on some ego kick of, bow down and admire me for I'm great. That's not what it is. It is actually a blessing for the saint. And it's to stand in amazement of someone or something. Have you ever done that? Have you ever seen something that just made you go? Maybe it's the Grand Canyon. If you ever stood on the side of the Grand Canyon, you look and you say, wow, that's a big hole. You know, it's amazing. It is. Go to the Teton Mountains. Stand at the base of those mountains and you look up and you say, wow, that's a mountain. Maybe you've heard somebody play an instrument before and they were just so good and you said, wow, I don't see how anybody can play an instrument like that. Wow. Listen, one of these days, saints of God, believers of Jesus Christ, we're going to stand in awe of His presence. Imagine, you know, Peter, James, and John was on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus was transformed up there and He was joined by Moses and Elijah and Peter speaks up that, oh, let me build three tabernacles, one for You and one for You and one for You. And he said that because he didn't know what else to say. He was in awe of the glorified Christ. But can you imagine that day when we stand in awe of the One who spoke this world into existence? That day when we stand in awe of that One who was filled with such love that He went to the cross of Calvary to pay my sin debt. To stand in awe of that One bleeding, broken, and bruised was placed dead in that grave. That same One who 3 days came victorious out of the grave, victorious, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And today, seated at the right hand of God. Imagine the first time you enter into His presence. I've had people say, well, I'm going to praise Him. And I've had others bow. I'm going to kneel before Him. I tell you what, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I want to be there. I look forward to that day. Oh, listen, there's coming a day. I want you to understand, for a child of God, I want you to understand a lot of things are going on outside these walls. There's a lot of things to be discouraged about. There's a lot of things to be distracted about. But nothing has changed for the child of God. We are one day going to our reward. We will one day meet our Savior. Oh, what a day that will be. What a day that'll be. There's coming a day when my Jesus, I'll see. No heartache shall come. No clouds in the sky. No tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Stand up. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, and He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Now I want to ask you something. I'm going to turn things over to Brother Dale in the invitation. The question I have for you is, are you going? Are you going? Will that day be a glorious day for you? Will you see Jesus, the one who saved you by His grace? Or will you face eternal destruction? And you wonder, you today, I want you to understand, the decision that you make here today may just be the final opportunity you ever get. Listen, I call you to repentance today. God has done everything He can do on your behalf by giving His Son Jesus to pay for your sin debt. By making salvation free and available to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. But you understand, you've got to make that commitment today. You make that decision. You determine where you will spend eternity. This invitation is for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would invite you to come.